Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at home? Sweet liberty.
And now, here's your host, Jackie Butcher.
Is that better?
That's better.
Yeah, I got off the phone. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us this evening. Today is Monday, and it is the, I'm sorry, I've been rushing, as you might be able to tell. Today is the 25th of April in the year 2005, and I'm glad you've joined us this evening, and I hope that you had a lovely weekend. We talked about, and I promised you that we were bringing a guest on. We're going to be talking tonight, folks, about Codex Alimentarius, and our guest this evening is James South. Let me begin. James, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, everything's fine.
Boy, it doesn't sound right in my headset for some reason, and I'm not quite sure, but maybe everything is okay. Let me begin, folks, with our spiritual message here. Here, this is one of my favorites, and I opened right up to it. This is in Matthew 5. It's in beginning with verse 14. Jesus said that ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, and neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I love that. James, thanks for being with us tonight.
My pleasure.
And please forgive my unpreparedness here. As I said, I got this virus, and I was caught up in a phone conversation, and it was just about 5 minutes till when I looked at the clock and saw that it was time to go on the air, and I wasn't ready, and you were, and thank you. Do you want to give our listeners, if you would, a little background on yourself, who you are, and how you're involved in this subject that we're going to talk about tonight?
Well, I've been professionally involved with the vitamin and nutrition industry since 1972. I've been director of research and development for two vitamin companies. I've taught classes at Lane Community College in vitamins and nutrition. I've done many professional lectures and seminars and courses I've taught on the subject. I've spoken at international conferences such as the International Anti-Aging Conference.
Excuse me, Jim. We are on shortwave.
Yeah.
And shortwave reception isn't always the greatest. And what I have discovered, and our listeners have confirmed this, when we're talking real fast like this and running our words all together, if they're not having real good reception, they don't just miss a word or two. They could miss a whole sentence. And you talk fast like I used to. So I wonder if you would try to keep that, bear that in mind, and slow down and let our listeners be able to hear you.
Okay, I'll go into slow motion.
Okay, thank you. I used to think I sounded like a chipmunk. I talked so fast when I'd hear my voice on a record. I'm not saying this to embarrass you, but what we're going to talk about tonight is just so important. I want them to be able to hear you.
Okay, talking more slowly.
Thank you.
I will say that I've spoken at several professional international conferences on nutrition over the years. I've published many dozens of articles on vitamins and nutrition and natural health.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've, in my own lifetime, I've taken roughly 1 million vitamin and nutritional supplements myself over the last 34 years.
Wow.
So it's something that's not just something that's a profession for me. It's also been necessary for me to maintain my own health personally as well.
Yeah, well, you know what? For the most part, a long part of my life, I was in the fitness field. That was my life's work. And so that, of course, involves not just exercise, but nutrition also. And I don't know that there are any of us that have a quality of food today that we would be able to really be healthy without some help.
Well, even if we eat good diets, in a modern toxic world, it's that's simply not enough.
Yep.
You know, the world of the 21st century is literally a different world than our great-grandparents lived in 1920.
Sure is.
There are so many more toxins in the world, in the air, in the food, in the water, in the medicines that are foisted off upon us, even most of the vaccinations
the
people
vaccines.
Receive,
yes.
Including the flu vaccination, have a mercury-laced preservative called thimerosal in them, and we're subject to electromagnetic radiation like never in human history. So, you know, good food might have been enough in 1900. It's no longer enough today.
Right. And unless you are gardening, organic gardening and composting and naturally fertilizing, you're not going to have a good diet.
Now, that's true, and most people do not get an organic food-based diet.
It's right.
It's rather expensive, and a lot of what's passed off as organic food is not anyway.
Not anymore, is it, James?
No, there's unfortunately, you know, even a lot of regular grocery stores are selling foods labeled as organic because there's a good price markup in it, but they don't really care. It's not their passion. They're quite willing to sell something that somebody that told them was organic and may or may not be, and they don't care, and they don't know, and they just sell it to you, and you hope for the best.
Well, do you know what I read not too long ago? That they've changed the requirements, the rules, and if there is one ingredient in a product that is organic, that they are allowed to claim that it's organic. And so that unless it says it's either 100 or 1,000% organic, you can't count on it.
No, that's true. The USDA, you know, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, revised the rules for what can be labeled organic a couple of years ago, and they kind of watered down the requirements for something to be labeled organic. And that's part of the problem because, of course, the USDA doesn't take organic seriously. They think it's just a fad, so they don't think it matters what the definition of organic is, and the consumer is left in the lurch thereby.
You know what I was wondering? Maybe you know the answer to this. They've got so many genetically modified foods today, but if they take a genetically modified, let's say, seed and plant it and don't artificially fertilize it, do you think that they would justify calling that organic?
That's an interesting philosophical conundrum.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? One of the main things they breed genetically modified foods for is to actually be able to handle much higher levels of pesticides and survive.
Yes.
So believe me, they're not going to bother raising many genetically modified food crops organically because, you know, the Roundup Ready soybean is the most famous case.
Well, and Roundup Ready corn and Roundup Ready wheat today.
Yeah, so, you know, that's why they modify a lot of these things, is to make them, you know, not wither on the vine from massive doses of pesticide.
Yeah. Along with the ability to produce their own herbicide or pesticide.
Yes, that's true.
The plants themselves. This has been a while, though, and this is timely. We've covered this quite heavily on the broadcast, but it's been a couple years, and I'm really glad you came on with us tonight. Will you tell our listeners what is Codex Alimentarius? What is its aim? What is its purpose?
Well, actually, the Codex Alimentarius.
What does Codex Alimentarius mean first, James?
Well, it's Latin, and it means food code.
Food
code.
As in
food regulation code, like a code of regulation.
Okay.
And this organization was set up in 1963 by the United Nations. And the Food and Agriculture Organization and the World Health Organization of the United Nations are the purveyors of this Codex Alimentarius. This organization then created a committee starting back in the early 1990s called the Codex Committee. And this Codex Committee has taken it upon itself to try to devise worldwide applicable regulations to regulate the trade in vitamin and mineral and nutritional supplements of all kinds. And this summer, in July of 2005, the Codex Committee is going to finally ratify the Codex regulations they've been working on for over a decade. And these regulations will basically have rather severe limitations on the forms and potencies of vitamins and minerals and other nutrient supplements that can be sold on the world market.
Yeah.
And basically, it'll reduce your vitamin supplements to the potency that's about appropriate for your pet gerbil or your pet mouse.
There you go. And I understand, too, that if you want or feel that you need a higher potency, it has to be through prescription, and then it would be one of the pharmaceuticals that would provide...
that's not even clear. You see, don't forget, if something is under prescription, that means it's a prescription drug, basically.
Yeah, sure.
But prescription drugs have to go through a lengthy and expensive approval process by, for example, the FDA here in America. And so it would take many years before vitamins could be put on prescription status. And actually, even that would never happen for a very simple reason. It costs many millions of dollars to go through the approval process to approve a vitamin to approve a drug. And because vitamins and minerals and herbal supplements cannot be patented, there would be no financial interest to make it worthwhile for a drug company to patent vitamins try to get vitamins and minerals approved through the FDA. So actually, once Codex becomes the law of the world, then these things are basically just going to disappear except for the potency you find in your basic one-a-day vitamin at your local drugstore like Centrum or something.
Or less.
Or less.
Or even less, yes. Are there countries that have already signed on to Codex where they are doing what they want to do here and all over the world?
Well, Codex itself hasn't yet been passed.
Oh,
but many
okay.
countries of the world have basically already begun restricting potencies and vitamins and minerals for years now.
Give us example.
Australia, years ago, passed what it called the Therapeutic Goods Act. Under this Therapeutic Goods Act, it basically treats vitamin mineral supplements as if they're drugs. And what is allowed in Australia is only a tiny fraction of what we can find here in America.
Wow.
And unfortunately, New Zealand has had a pretty free market in vitamins and minerals, somewhat like America, until recently. But the Minister of Health there, just last year, entered into a treaty without the approval of the New Zealand people with Australia to create a joint agency between Australia and New Zealand that will control the vitamin potencies in New Zealand as well as Australia.
Wow.
And so New Zealand has recently lost its vitamin freedom as well.
You know, I have a feeling too, or maybe I've read it, but just pretty much, you know, having a sense and an awareness of these creatures that are whatever behind all this, that maybe some of the most important will be actually banned, that you won't even be able to get it. I was thinking of CoQ10.
Well, I think that's very likely. For example, the European Union has passed what it calls its Food Supplement Directive, and it's scheduled to go into effect in August of this coming of this summer, August of 2005. And under the European Union Food Supplement Directive, only vitamins and minerals are allowed to be sold. Supplements such as carnitine and coenzyme Q10 and other nutrient supplements that aren't strictly speaking a vitamin or a mineral are basically banned.
Yep.
So that's already happening over there.
Okay, well, then we could...
And by the way, it's the European Union's people and forces that have been the driving force behind Codex. So you can believe that Codex will be kind of a rough mirror image of the already existing European food supplement directive.
And now we're facing the, what the heck do they call it? The merging of the Americas.
That's correct.
I keep forgetting what they're calling that, James.
It's called the Free Trade Area of the Americas.
Free Trade Area of the Americas,
yeah. The FTAA.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, built into the FTAA agreement is the use of Codex as a standard for regulating vitamins and supplements all throughout the Americas if the FTAA becomes law.
Well, you know what? We have a gentleman on with us very often. His name is Alan Watt. He's from Canada. And, you know, it's interesting that, and you've probably been told this by people from other countries, that here in the U.S., I don't call it America anymore. It's what, to me, it's a dream that we lived, that we thought we were living in. But that people in the U.S., are probably more dumbed down or kept in the dark than just about any other country today. And Alan was telling us that on the television there in Canada, they announced that there had been a meeting of the Canadian-American merger here, and I believe it was in Texas, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe not, but that they announced in Canada that it's a done deal.
Well, there has been a commission that's been meeting for a couple years now that's looking at merging Canada, the U.S., and Mexico.
Right.
I have not heard that it's been truly, officially, finally ratified, although I know that that's their intent. But obviously you never hear anything about it here in America.
Exactly.
Except if you check out the Internet websites, certain places you hear about it, but that's the only place.
So
it's certainly true that we Americans, I agree with you, are rather dumbed down people, you know, intentionally so. And mind control is the order of the day in America, you know, through the media and through more technological means as well. And Americans just don't know what's coming down the pike for them. And, you know, it's conceivable that within 1 to 3 years, the vitamin freedom we take for granted here in America will be gone. In fact, you know, the problem is, even if we're lucky enough to avoid the FTAA from becoming law, even if somehow we manage to scuttle that, because America, you know, is a member of the World Trade Organization, when we became a member of the GATT Treaty, the Global Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, back in 1994, well, the U.S. agreed then to harmonize all its laws and regulations with World Trade Organization rules and regulations. And the WTO will be enforcing Codex as a WTO regulation once it's finalized this summer. So we're under legal obligation because of our GATT treaty obligations to follow Codex, to align our laws with Codex once it's passed formally this summer by the Codex Commission.
And to try to keep this in perspective, the entire, quote, treaty was not a treaty at all, not NAFTA nor the GATT WTO, because both of them were passed by a simple vote of both the House and the Senate, where a treaty is approved by the U.S. Senate. So these aren't treaties, and if the treaties, if it were a treaty, even if it were, it cannot supersede the Constitution. So actually, we can call it legal, maybe under their international law or whatever the heck, but it is not lawful.
Well, it's not a treaty also because, technically speaking, treaties have to be between nations.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
This was not done between nations.
The U.N. The U.N. is an intergovernmental organization that calls itself.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, I agree with you. Legally, it's not a treaty, but the point is the U.S. government pretends that it is.
I know it. The only reason I bring this up, James, is that I believe this is my own, if you would, my own belief in this or sense of it, is that if we repeat it enough, people who are listening to us will believe it too. It just, you know, kind of knee-jerk. And so I try to be very careful not to say we're legally bound, because we really aren't.
Well, you're right. I agree with you. We're not.
Thank
I'm just saying
you.
That's unfortunately, the U.S. government is the one that's going to interpret how this comes down, and they're
yes.
going to claim we're legally bound. That's
yes.
the problem.
I understand that, yes. And I try not to play into their jargon so that I am not part of perpetuating their lie. I guess that's what it is. Explaining, of course, that this is the way it's treated. It's treated like it's law. It's treated like it's a treaty. And so, therefore, people suffer under it, thinking there's nothing we can do about it. And truly, the states of this nation could begin one by one just rejecting it, and they are within the law, true law, to say we're not going to take part in it. And if enough people, I would visit, you know, their state legislators and bring the information to them and show them the dangers, who knows what could happen out of that, James.
Well, we also have a one-year window of opportunity in the year 2005. Congressman Ron Paul of Texas, probably the last honest congressman, is leading a fight in the U.S. House to get the U.S. back out of the GATT agreement. It's built into the GATT agreement and the WTO that every 5 years we can, Congress can revisit it and voluntarily opt out of it. And this year is one of those 1 year and five when
wow.
it's automatically part of the agreement that the U.S. Congress can just say, sorry, folks, we're not happy with this, we're leaving. And
uh-huh.
then nobody in the world can even, you know, moan about it or make any complaints.
Yeah, and
because
how...
it's built into the agreement. So if we all write our congressmen this year and say, we want the U.S. out of the WTO and GATT, you know, and pressure them, it could easily happen this year because it's built right into the agreement. It's, you know, it's part of the rules.
However, and this isn't to be negative, and it isn't to throw cold water, ice water, but in 1993, the effort to even stop the NAFTA was absolutely just tremendous by large groups, by grassroots. I was a C-SPAN junkie at the time, thinking that that is where all of our attention should be put, should be placed. And it was, of course, it was so sad to see this happen. There were a lot of the House of Representatives, there were a lot of them very close to the time, I believe it was November 17th when they voted it in, but there were so many of them that were at least holding out and saying, I don't know yet, and some of them were saying, no, I'm going to oppose this. And by God, they had appointments with was it Clinton? Was it Clinton then?
Yes, it was.
And on the C-SPAN, they'd be coming out of his office and sit and say why they changed their minds. And I cannot see the same thing with GATT, WTO. There was a congresswoman in Maryland. And I got some just awesome information from her on this whole thing. And this woman got voted out of office or run out of office somehow because she opposed it so vociferously. And I have not seen where it has really done any good. When I heard, what's his name? Oh, I can see him right now. Orrin Hatch, maybe. He had said, we're getting 2,000 phone calls or emails or faxes, whatever, maybe totally, but a day, if that is a possibility. And he said, I don't want to hear any more about this. He said, we have the right to get out of this. And if you want the agreement here, you call my office and I will send it to you. Well, I called his office in D.C. They didn't know anything about it. He was gone back to his home state. I called his home state office. They didn't know anything about it. I said, I've got it tape recorded. It's He said it right on C-SPAN, and I want a copy of that, please. There was no getting it. What I'm getting at here, James, is that from talking, my experience, because I had been so active in 93, 94, 95 at a state level, that you discover that if a state, let's say even one state representative writes to his delegate and says, well, I'm telling you this is dangerous and you need to vote against it, they listen because they see that that state representative is representing all of the people within his district. And maybe rather than lead, I mean, not that we shouldn't call them anyway, but to really focus our attention on the states, where the state legislatures would be passing their resolutions, their whatever the heck they do, telling their U.S. senators and their delegates in whatever district that they want them to opt out of GATT-WTO. But they're not going to do it unless they hear from a whole bunch of their own constituents. Does that make sense to you, dear?
Well, there's no question. Let's be honest. You know, the U.S. Congress has long since bought and sold and blackmailed by the CIA and everything else.
Yep.
And that's also true.
Yeah. And that's why I'll say this about Ron Paul. I do know that Ron Paul voted for China, communist China, for most favored nation status every time it came up. To me, that's treasonous. He also voted to legalize all of those. They don't call them illegal aliens anymore. They call them undocumented immigrants. He voted to legalize them. And something I've noticed is that, you know, any congressman can introduce any bill he wants. It makes him look real good to the people. Ron Paul today is the flavor of the last couple 3 years. He's the hero. Nothing he ever introduces ever comes to naught, and yet people are holding him up like a hero. But what it does is it gives people hope. Oh, Ron Paul is trying. He's doing it. Ron Paul is a phony. I am asserting that. I'm not saying I think it. I know that he's a phony, James. And just because he's doing this doesn't mean it's going anywhere. But they let somebody up there be a hero because they keep people's eyes off the ball. And the ball is in our own backyard, in our own states. Does that make sense?
Well, we all know about controlled opposition, yes.
Thank you. You and I are really on the same page, James. Yeah, we're really on the same page.
But the bottom line is, you know, the Codex Alimentarius is coming down the pike, and unless we all get real creative and figure out something that's going to work, you know, we are going to lose our vitamin freedom here in America.
Here's something I wanted to ask you. One of our listeners had heard about this, and she took information. I think it was to her chiropractor. And, of course, they're, you know, always promoting health and nutrition, et cetera. I'd like to save this for the next. We have to take a 60-second break here, because I want your advice on this for our listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, please get your pen in hand. Remember that the broadcast that you're listening to is listener-sponsored. That would be you. And we... it's $140 just for our shortwave time every single hour that we're on. And if you want us to stay on the air, it is up to you. We do need each and every one of you to become part of this. We'll be right back.
Years ahead of the dominant media, find out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Roll away the dawn,
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
Yes, folks, and let me thank you for your continued support of this broadcast. I was thinking this during the break. Come June, which is about 5 short weeks, we are going to have completed 7 full years of listener-only broadcasting. And that, as I've said before, I mean it sincerely, just because I repeat myself, but it speaks volumes about you, about our listeners who have supported this broadcast. And I know that many of you support it and support it generously for the benefit of others, because you want the broadcast to stay on the air so that others can get the information. I want to give you my address once again, in case you didn't write it down. It's Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, and that is Millerton, T-O-N, Pennsylvania, 16936. And our guest, James South, and it's wonderful to have you on, James. You mentioned the media, mind control, and I want our listeners to know, folks, I spoke with Steve Jacobson today. He hasn't been doing radio in well over a year. I don't know how long it's been. And he's going to be on with us next Wednesday. And that is what we're going to be talking about, is media mind control. Alan Watt has mentioned over and over and over again that the very core of this system, the engine that drives this system, is the fictitious monetary system. And we'll be discussing that. Stephen will be discussing that also. So that will be, barring any unforeseen event, he will be with us. James, thank you once again for being here tonight. Are you there, dear?
I'm here. Yeah,
okay.
My pleasure.
The question I wanted to ask, one of our listeners, as I said, took the information on Codex, you know, that this July is a real watershed event, and her doctor poo-pooed it, and he said, oh, they've been trying that for years. It's never going to happen. And I'm wondering, because I can remember, even before I was doing radio and even was truly awake to, you know, what we know today, because I shopped at health food stores, I remember when they used to have the petitions, that asking people to sign them and send them in and et cetera. And I wonder if people are doing that today, or if it's because this has been going on for so long, do you think that these people that own the health food stores and the chiropractors who believe in and promote nutritional supplementation, et cetera, do you believe they've kind of gone to sleep on this, James?
I do believe that. There's less awareness of the harsh reality of Codex than there was of these other periods when millions of Americans sent letters to Congress saying, you know, don't let the FDA take our vitamins. That was a different story, a different time, and it's also a different issue.
Yeah.
You see, the Codex will be enforced by the World Trade Organization, and they cannot directly force us to change our laws. You know, the Codex will not automatically change our laws. It won't. Anybody that thinks that it won't change our laws, in one sense, they're correct. But the problem is this. If some country makes a complaint against us to the WTO dispute board, and they look into the matter, and they'll see, well, yeah, America's vitamin laws are not in harmony with the Codex standards. And then what they'll do is the WTO will authorize billions of dollars of tariffs to be put on American goods exported to other countries like Europe and Japan and China and so on. And when that happens, that in turn will block a sale of hundreds of billions of dollars of American goods, not just vitamin goods, but other goods like steel or textiles or whatever. And then when Congress sees that, they will instantly, you know, change the laws to meet the WTO demands. They've already done that in many cases. We saw when President Bush put the tariff on steel a couple years ago, he took it off within a year and a half, much earlier than he had said he was going to, because the European countries and Japan and Norway and so on took us to the WTO board, and they ruled against us and said if America doesn't dump its steel tariffs, you countries get to put billions of dollars of tariffs on American goods.
You know what I think about that? First of all, I think Bush does nothing that his masters haven't told him to do.
Well, that's certainly true.
Because he's a puppet.
Yeah.
And I think what it does is by what he did, it showed the people in America how powerful that World Trade Organization is. And so they just kind of roll over and play dead for it.
Right, but that's my point. That's what's going to happen with the codex.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, the Congress will roll over and play dead for codex when WTO rules against us,
I mean,
when some country complains about
it. Yeah, I think they did it for the sake of the uninformed here in America, that because, you know, it was on the news and all that, and they take it in, media mind control, and say, wow, boy, you know, he had to do that because otherwise, da-da-da-da-da. And I think it's just a ploy to gain more acquiescence, just apathy, I guess I'm saying, James. What? Okay.
Well, I'm disagreeing with you, but the point is it works.
I know it does. I know it does. Okay. Is there somewhere something that in maybe one or two pages that people could get a hold of and make copies of and take to their local health food stores, maybe take to their state reps and their senators, send to their congressmen, besides the phone calls, because the phone calls are essential, and I discovered that in my own experience. Is there something that's been written that would be very short, sweet, succinct, and potent and powerful to wake some people up?
I would recommend people go to John Hemmel's website,
okay,
which is www.IAHF, that's International Alliance of Health Freedom, IAHF.com.
Okay.
And, you know, take some of his writings off of there that, you know, they might want to reproduce and show to their friends.
Maybe I could get in touch with John and see if he has something specific, because I've been on his website, and there's a powerful amount of good information there. I know that if there's too much information given to anybody, and it seems to me that two pages is about the limit, unless they ask for more, if they really care, they'll, you know, go and find some more information. But maybe John would be able to lead me and our listeners to a source where a one or two pager would be available. Even I guess, though, that our listeners, we have a lot of shortwave listeners. That's really the backbone of this broadcast. And many of our shortwave listeners don't have computers. But, of course, they can go to a library, and they can go into a website and print out a couple of pages if they care enough to do it.
Well, the bottom line is there is very little grassroots activity going on right now about this codex matter, and it's unlike in the previous years, like in 1994, when the vitamin industry was last under major attack. Then millions of Americans were signing petitions and sending letters to Congress, and it worked. And, you know, the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act, DSHEA, was passed, and that's kind of allowed a blossom of vitamin freedom ever since then. But codex will eventually override that once Congress realizes that, like you say, the masters above want them to overturn DSHEA and the vitamin protections, and instead enshrine codex as American law. So if people don't get off their duffs, you know, the bottom line is vitamins will go the way of the dodo here in America, indeed all over the world.
And as you were saying at the very beginning of the broadcast, with all that's happening today, with all of the toxins we're breathing and drinking and being injected by, without some of these natural supplements, people are going to start dropping like flies.
Well, after all, America has some of the worst health statistics of the entire world. You know, there are actually third world countries that have better health statistics in some cases than we do.
Yeah.
You know, we are a nation that's full of diabetes,
yeah,
heart disease, cancer, and severe obesity, and on it goes. And, you know, nowadays, even children in grade school are coming down with what's called type 2 diabetes. It used to be called adult onset diabetes, but that's no longer a proper name for it. Because now even, you know, 15-year-olds and 20-year-olds are getting type 2 diabetes. It used to be called maturity onset or adult onset diabetes.
What is the difference between type 2 and regular sugar diabetes?
Well, type 1 diabetes is when your pancreas burns out and it no longer is able to secrete insulin,
right,
to control your blood sugar.
Okay.
In type 2 diabetes, your pancreas can still make insulin, but your cells have become resistant to hearing the insulin message. They kind of ignore it.
Actually,
the pancreas cranks out even more insulin than normal, and your blood is full of insulin, but the cells aren't getting the message. And this then causes major metabolic malfunctions, leading to heart disease and obesity and kidney failure and blindness and all kinds of other fun things.
Wow. I did not know this, James. The cells actually don't read the message.
Yeah. It's like they've gone deaf. It's like the insulin hormone is a messenger trying to tell the cells to take sugar out of the bloodstream and, you know, take it inside the cell. But the insulin message, you know, the cells go deaf to it, and so the pancreas has to crank up the volume and crank out tons of insulin. And at some point, the cells do hear the message, but it causes all kinds of metabolic damage to have high levels of insulin. That causes a lot of mischief in its own right.
Wow, we have a caller here. You're on the air. Who's calling?
This is Lorraine from Wisconsin.
Hello, Lorraine.
I understand. I was just listening to your show, okay? And you're talking about Codex Alimentaria.
That's right.
Well, we have a copy of our state biennial budget in the state of Wisconsin. And in it, I'd like to say it was hidden because...
Because it was?
Hidden. Okay. This is what it says, anyway. They are creating a new statute number, which is dietary supplement, means a product other than tobacco that is intended to supplement a person's diet if all of the following apply. The product contains any of the following ingredients or any combination of any of the following ingredients. Number one, a vitamin. Number two, a mineral. Number three, an herb or other botanical. Number four, an amino acid. Number five, a dietary substance that is intended for human consumption to supplement the diet by increasing total dietary intake.
Oh, my God.
Number six, a concentrate metabolite, okay, constituent or extract. B, the product is intended for ingestion in tablets, capsule, powder, soft gel cap, or liquid form, or if not intended for ingestion in such forms, is not represented as conventional food and is not represented for use as the sole item of a meal or diet. Number C, the product is required to be labeled as a dietary supplement as required under 21 CFR 101.36. Now, this is the Codex Alimentarius that's hidden in the state biennium state budget.
Lorraine?
Yes.
Well, they didn't miss a lick there, but I didn't hear what they said about it. Are they going to prohibit it or what?
It doesn't. No, it's just giving a... They are defining what it is. So then later, it's under statute 77.51, parents 3P. Okay, that is the parent that will be in the law book.
This is in Wisconsin.
Yes.
All right.
It's on page, if you want a page, it's on page 762 of the state biennial budget that the legislature is beginning to work on. They'll be finished with it at the end of May, This is a definition of dietary supplement.
Wow.
So they can get they get their handle on it.
They didn't miss a lick.
Huh?
They didn't miss a lick.
No,
they described it.
So they've got you out in England or in Codex Alimentarius, whatever that word is. I know of that. I knew all about that too.
Yeah.
But I mean, while that's going on, here they're shoving it through right under our
thank
noses,
you.
Right into a statute of law.
Thank you. You just made a point I was trying to make earlier, and my thought here is that if this is happening in Wisconsin, we can bet that it is happening or about to happen or has already happened in the other states. And
absolutely.
Okay, so for people in Wisconsin, they can call their state rep and tell them they want a copy of page 762 of the state biennial budget, yes?
And 763.
762 and 763.
Uh-huh.
And then I would...
And it's under section 1485. As far as if you're, they go by sections.
Okay,
in the budget.
Fine. I got it, honey.
You know what I mean?
Section 1485, page 762 and 763. And what I would suggest for our listeners, and including myself, is to get a hold of our state reps and have them do a search for us.
Definitely.
To see if there has been any bill introduced, if it is part of a proposed budget defining what dietary supplements are. We better be on the ball with this. See, the thing that I've discovered, Lorraine, and for our other listeners, is that the U.S. government, the Congress, does have limited powers. They know it. And this is what they do. And I know you know this, Lorraine.
Sure.
The states will start doing it before the Congress even gets it done.
That's right.
The states,
some of this stuff in before it even goes.
That's right. I've seen them do it with gun bills in the past. Lorraine, thank you so much. Is there anything?
Another thing I wanted to tell you. They're working against same-sex marriages in our state.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's in the budget also. It's called a domestic partner. A domestic partnership means a relationship between two individuals that satisfies all the following. Each individual has to be 18 years old and competent to enter into a contract. Neither individual is married to or in a domestic partnership with another individual. Number C, the two individuals are not related by blood in any way that would prohibit marriage under statute 765.03. D, the two individuals consider themselves to be members of each other's immediate family. E, the two individuals agree to be responsible for each other's basic living expenses. They want they want to be able to have insurance.
Wow.
Okay, that's
okay.
Why they want us, the taxpayers, to pay for it.
Yes, of course. Thank you, Lorraine.
And this is supposed to be in 12, it relates to five different places in this biennium budget. There's 1,135 pages in this Wisconsin state biennium budget.
Wow.
And this, which domestic partnership?
Yeah.
It's on page 432, if anybody from Wisconsin is listening.
Okay, we have quite a few Wisconsin listeners, and I know that all of our listeners appreciate your call. Lorraine.
That's what I mean.
Thank you, honey.
We're being told one thing, and we gotta look all over.
Absolutely.
I mean, especially the state bill.
Absolutely. How did you find this?
Well, I was looking for the premise law, which now they want to give everyone who has any animals on their property, even hobby farmers, a number, even if you've got six chickens. Okay, they want to give you a number on your property so that, supposing that there would be a big illness come through, like the spongiform encephalopathy,
or bird flu or whatever.
Yeah, they can come along later because that food, though, also.
Okay, so you tripped over this, you stumbled over it in searching for something else.
I went through every page in this.
Okay.
I got the 400, and then I got the 700, and then you know,
God loves
what
you.
I was really looking for was way toward the back.
Okay. Lorraine, thank you so much, honey.
Thank you for letting me give you this time.
Bless you. Bye-bye.
Yes, bye.
Folks, you can go into our website at sweetliberty.org, and on the main page, very close to the top, it's over at the left sidebar, you will see a state flag. And if you hit that, it'll open a page, and every single state is there, and you can hit on your state and go right in to your state legislature. And then you can do a search. And you can also call your rep's office, tell them what you're looking for, and ask them to do a search for you. And they will do it, although you can't really depend or trust. But it's worked for me in the past. But, folks, we need to get on this. And as James has said, there's very little. I have been remiss. I've known about this for the last couple of months. I started getting the emails on it, and I thought, wow, we better get on this. And here it is, the end of April, and we're just getting on it. But we need, as James said, we need to get off our duff. And this should not be taken lightly. I would venture to say the quality, the mindset of our listeners, that the majority of them do take food supplements, vitamins, minerals, herbals of some type. And people need to know about this.
And related to this whole issue, like I have said, is the free trade area of the Americas. That's going to be coming up for an up or down vote. It's on fast track legislative status this summer. They're going to vote on the free trade area of the Americas. And if that passes, you won't just lose vitamins. You lose America's national sovereignty once and for all.
Yeah.
We're going to soon have something like the European Parliament. You know?
Yeah, exactly. The Union of the Americas. Do you know when this summer? Is there a deadline date?
No, they're keeping it kind of quiet.
Oh, sure they are.
They're going to probably do it when people are on vacation in June or July and aren't paying attention.
Uh-huh.
And because it's a fast track, what that means is there could be no debate.
Yeah, I know,
it's just brought
yes.
to the floor and people vote yes or no. And so that way it'll be over before anybody even knows about it.
It's an up or down vote, period, no debate. Wow.
So we need to be, you know, even though it probably doesn't do any good, I have to agree with you, still people should be contacting the congressman nasty letters saying we're going to vote you out if you vote this in advance. You can't wait till they vote.
They probably know about vote fraud, too, and they know that it isn't us who votes them in anymore, James.
Well, that's true.
But
that's
it doesn't matter. They need to know at least that we know about it.
Yeah.
But I do urge our listeners, folks, your attention and your energy and your effort. First of all, we have county commissioners, and they have the ear of the state legislators. We can start in our own backyard. And I'm not saying it's easy. It's simple. It is not easy, folks. But doggone it, if we sit back and just let it happen without trying anything, how are we going to look ourselves in the mirror and actually look into our own eyes and be able to hold ourselves up as responsible?
Well, not only that, under the common law, silence equals acquiescence and agreement.
Yes, it does. Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense, James. That makes sense. Okay. Well, we're almost out of our time here. We've probably got about another 3 minutes or so. Is there something more that you'd like to say to sort of wrap this up in a nutshell for our listeners?
Well, in a nutshell, what's going on here is the war between the pharmaceutical industrial complex and natural medicine. They cannot win by honest free market competition. Not there is any such thing as free market competition anymore, of course.
Not too fast,
but, you know, but the bottom line is it's the pharmaceutical interests. You know, there people are losing more and more faith in medicine, especially with the Vioxx and Celebrex scandals and the Bakal scandals. There have been so many drugs taken off the market just in the last 5 or 6 years. People are starting to be a little bit worried about the safety of drugs in America, of pharmaceutical drugs. And so the pharmaceutical industry knows that if there's this alternative left to people to use natural vitamins and minerals and herbs to treat themselves on their own, that they're going to lose out. And they make, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars a year in America alone from their drug sales, and they're not about to let that go.
They're the ones No, they're not the ones, but part of it, the billions of dollars that the bankers have that paid the Congress off to pass the new bankruptcy law that evidently was just passed by the Senate. And basically it is a law that was passed for the credit card companies that is going to make it almost impossible for anybody to ever get out of credit card debt. And the credit card companies have the authority to charge up to 30% interest and $40 and $50 fines, et cetera, et cetera. That's a done deal. It's been passed, and I believe it's already been signed.
Yes, indentured servitude has returned to America.
Oh, my, yes. You said something, and it spurred a thought, and I'm sorry I lost it. But, James, thank you for being here. You know, this is not pleasant, is it? Even the conversation, and it leaves me sort of breathless almost to realize the importance of what you're talking about here tonight, what we're talking about tonight. And it is true that the more people know about it, the more the light is shed into the lies and the darkness and the evil, the harder it is for them to get their work done. So, folks, it's going to be up to each and every one of us. And if you sit back and you think, well, somebody else will do it, there's a lot of people that are going to do it and think about doing it and never really do anything, we become part of the problem. And we have nobody else to blame but ourselves. And James, we are out of our hour, and I do want to thank you once again. Thank you very much for taking your time to be with us tonight.
My pleasure, and God bless you all.
God bless you. And ladies and gentlemen, we will be back with you. Good night, James.
Good night.
We'll be back with you tomorrow night. And I hope that, I know it isn't. Everything, it seems like we talk about such important stuff, and it seems so overwhelming. Don't let it overwhelm you, but just get busy. And don't give up. And just because one person or 10 people don't listen to you, don't give up. Because somebody out there wants what you have to offer. God bless you, folks. And we will be back with you tomorrow night. Good night.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Discover the most important health discovery in 40 years, the Goji Berry, the world's number one nutrition.